This recording, Australia 38, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the Territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up a kit and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. Family history. Well, we were originally from England. My mother's side was predominantly Romanian or Hungarian, but from that Eastern European region. And growing up, I grew up on a sheep station. It's now a cattle station, but was a sheep station then. And I had an awesome upbringing, a lot of freedom to do what I wanted to do, to go where I wanted to go. I had a little motorbike I used to skid around on and go out in the bush and build cubbies. And I had a pretty good childhood and upbringing. I was schooled by a school of the air, which is a specific school for children who live remotely in the outback. I lost my mother when I was 11 years old in a pretty horrific car accident, which also took the right arm of my father. And that was some pretty tough times. But other than that, my childhood and growing up was pretty happy as a kid. And yeah. That's about all. Local place names, a lot of really local stuff have Aboriginal names, like a lot of the stations around, like Yarra Gabby is a place near water. Some of the towns, like even Mount Magnet, takes its name from a hill right behind town. It's now called Warrambool Hill, but it's actually... it's a magnetite hill, so iron ore, but magnetite. And if you fly over it in an aeroplane, the compass in the aeroplane swings to Mount Magnet because it's a magnetic hill. And also in the old clockwork mechanism watches, if you went up the mount with a old style watch on, it would stop working because the magnetic pull was that strong. But there's lots of interesting names in our part of the world. I mean, there's things like in a moment of surprise, one might say ballet or I guess a lot of them relate back to some bastardisation of Indigenous phrases or speech.